Thank you. First of all, let me thank you very much for allowing me to join you this morning, and thank you for the support that you give as a church. It's very much appreciated and helps us to continue on our mission. I'm really blessed in my role. I get to travel around to different churches every Sunday and speak and share and meet folks and get to share about the work that we do. But it didn't take me long in my job to realize that I need to tell you where my accent is from, because I would much rather you listen to what I am saying than spend the whole time I'm talking trying to figure out where my accent is from. So I'm originally from Kentucky, but have lived in England now for 17 years. So I do have a bit of a mix of an accent. And sometimes it really changes when I get excited. And I do get excited about what we're doing at the Bible Society, because we are on a mission. And that mission is for every man, woman, and child to engage with the Bible here at home and across the world. So why do we do what we do? We do what we do because we know that when people engage with the Bible, their lives change for good. Not just change, but change for good. And we continually see God's love pouring out in the countless projects that we are committed to. Now, to me, this woman's face really shows what we're talking about when we say bringing the Bible to life. The joy of getting your first Bible for the very first time. She has walked miles and miles, and for the very first time in her life, she owns her very first Bible in her language that she can take home with her and read. This global commitment we have is here at home and across the world. We are translating the Bible, we're printing the Bible, we're distributing the Bible, and we're helping people to relate and make sense of the Bible, as well as advocating for its place in society. In 2016, 34 million Bibles were distributed globally by Bible Society. 30 languages received scripture for the very first time. 2016, there were places that for the very first time, they received scripture in their heart language. Now, personally, I feel very blessed. I grew up in a Christian home, but the Bible I remember from my childhood, well, it was probably about the same size as this music stand. It was really big. It was kind of golden glossy on the outside. Inside, I remember there being a family history bit, but it wasn't something I would sit on my couch and read. It wasn't a book I would curl up with. But as my Christian journey moved and changed, I realized I needed that daily relationship with the Bible. I needed the Bible to help me grow. There's not a magic formula that activates when you open the Bible. It is in itself a book of several books, but it's the life-changing message that the Bible contains that makes the difference. If we come to the Bible with the expectation that God can speak to us through it, the Holy Spirit will take the words and apply them to us. I believe the Bible is far more than a resource text which we can use to shape our theology and our ethics. I believe it's God's living and active voice. And every time we open its covers, we expose ourselves to a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. God desires not only to teach us through Scripture, but to also meet us there. When I first started at Bible Society, part of my role is going and meeting church leaders. And I had a church leader ask me, "What do you do when you read the Bible?" Now think about how you would answer that question. I can see some of your faces. You're like, "Gosh, well, you read it. You know, you open it up and you find what you want. Sometimes you just let it fall open, you know." So I wasn't quite sure how to answer his question. But I think the real point he was saying is, what do you do? How is that exercise for you? Is it something you just close up and stick back on a shelf? Or is it actually a continual process? And for me, it really did open my eyes. And I do think just opening your Bible and leaving it open. Don't close it and put it back on a shelf as if, well, I'm finished with you for today. I can tick that box and move on. Leave the Bible open. Be it something there that you dive into. Let it be something when folks come into your home, they see it's something that is part of your life. We read newspapers and textbooks for information. We read the Bible for transformation. And what a transformation it would be if we lived in a world where those who mourned were always comforted. The merciful were shown mercy. So what was Jesus saying in our gospel reading today as he began to teach? Were these new laws for us? I think it really is just as simple as it's his sermon. He's gathered his disciples around him and he's talking to them on how he wants to guide them and regulate their daily practice. And these are not just things for the saintly. We don't have this reading today because it's All Saints Day. It's not, this is what the saints did to gain their title. Saints are just like each and every one of us. Saints are not spiritual superheroes. The things that saints did were things that were done for each one of us in our own communities, things done to help us to live out. We know that the saints were everyday human beings like us, and we can be sure they made the same mistakes, had the same frailties, and yet something within them led them to do great things for the gospel, to live and sometimes die with incredible courage and boldness. How did they do it? If we are all saints, then we are all called to live as though our lives and our memories will still be important 1,000 years from now. How can we live so that our legacy strengthens generations of the faithful who come after us? What the saints had, I believe, is an unshakable commitment to follow Jesus, no matter where that took them. The Beatitudes that we heard read beautifully today may cause us to struggle because they are so different from the world that we're living in now. What Jesus is doing is putting before us the values of a new world. This upside-down world that he's presenting is actually the right way up. He isn't just encouraging us, but he's telling us, take hold, try harder, come alive to a new way of living. Claim it, live it, make this world your own. There are signs of that upside-down world breaking through in astonishing feats of forgiveness, gifts of generosity, love of neighbor, and of enemy. I want to tell you about a remarkable woman, someone I think is a bit saintly herself. Her name is Adele Sefuko. Adele is from Rwanda. Her husband was brutally murdered during the 1994 genocide in Rwanda, along with other members of her family. But Adele has no bitterness in her heart. After the events of that terrible year, which left the entire country deeply traumatized, she turned to the Bible. She was there trying to find ways to deal with the pain that she was dealing with. But she found a lot more than what she was looking for. Not only was she able to truly forgive those responsible for the genocide, she also found she had a deep desire to share her discovery with the men who had been in prison for their role in the killings. Adele started to go to the prison. This is where she met men and talked to them about the Bible and how it had healed her life and how it could also heal theirs. She became well known in the prison. Many eagerly awaited her visits. But one prisoner, a young man named Lewis, hid himself from her when she would come. He couldn't face her because he was the man responsible for killing her husband and her family. Lewis was interested in the Bible, but he just couldn't face Adele. He started to attend some church services in the prison, and he did have the opportunity to learn more, and he did decide to give his life to God. One day, truly repentant for what he had done, he faced Mr. Foucault, and he said he was sorry for what he had done. Immediately, she told him that she forgave him. He broke down, and from then on, whenever she came to the prison to preach, he would listen. They then developed a very unique relationship. He would tell her of his hopes, his fears, and talk about the future. And when Lewis was released from prison, Ms. Sefuko opened her home to him, invited him in to her house, and then later helped him even plan his wedding. This amazing story of reconciliation is a testimony of what is happening across Rwanda. wherever the Bible is being read and shared. Churches of different denominations are actively involved in running Bible study groups among the prisoners, those convicted for taking part in the genocide. Thousands have been baptized and have testified to the changes that the Bible has brought to their lives. Some have even sought permission to go into other prisons to share their experience of the Bible with inmates. So these Beatitudes that we had today are not easy, but they are things that Jesus saw as applying to us all. And we may need some practice at what they call for. They're not necessarily easy, but I think they're all doable. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. My colleagues have seen those craving for the total elimination of evil and oppression in the poorest, most fragile areas of sub-Saharan Africa. Places like South Sudan, where we're meeting the cry of people for the word of God. As civil unrest continues, our team are meeting the great demand for God's word among displaced people. My colleague Edward goes to these camps in Juba and he sheds tears because he says the people have nothing, but they desperately want a Bible. Edward says, when you really need God, you need to read or hear what it says in the Bible. We've heard stories of people trading their food rations for Bibles in the camps. To me, this is a true hunger for God's word. We used to provide about 70 Bibles a week in South Sudan. Some of the recent numbers are as many as 500 Bibles a day. We know the Bible can bring hope to communities in Africa. We're already seeing the fruits of God's hard work. God's word can build bridges where there is conflict, and it can speak to issues of governance, justice, and peace. Through everything, Christianity is growing faster in Africa than anywhere in the world. By 2020, half of all Africans are expected to be Christians, and the demand for the Bible is already rising. Another area where we're seeing great growth is our work that we're doing in China. The Chinese church is growing at a massive pace, and we're working hard to support this growth and increase Bible engagement. There are 1 million new Chinese coming to faith each year in China, but there is only one trained pastor for every 6,700 Christians. During the Cultural Revolution, we couldn't train pastors, so there's not this nice, quiet little bank of pastors just waiting for everything to happen. So we have to work hard. We have to get the resources there to train the pastors and to help them. We have the world's largest Bible printing press in China. We print a Bible every second comes off that printing press, but we still won't meet the demand there is for Bibles in China. We ran 228 literacy classes last year, teaching more than 17,000 people to read. They learn to read by reading the Bible. Each person received their own Bible from doing that. What a beautiful way to learn how to read, reading God's word. In fact, we're doing everything we can to seize the opportunity in China. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're also working hard to bring the Bible in some of the world's toughest, hardest places. For example, the Middle East, places where a Bible might otherwise never be seen. The war in Syria has caused death and displacement on an unimaginable scale. In the midst of the crisis, people of all faiths are looking to the Bible for hope. In Lebanon alone, 1 in 5 people are refugees. Our focus is to strengthen the church, but we've also discovered an unprecedented amount of people demanding the Bible. Nearly 900,000 people last year received Bibles and scripture material in the Middle East last year from the Bible Society. Many people are quite surprised to hear that we run a bookshop in Aleppo in Syria. That bookshop is 150 meters from what was the front line. It was open every day during the fighting, except for 2 days. It closed those 2 days because a rocket had landed on the roof. Through it all, we asked our colleague if it was time for him to leave, if he should close the shop. But he said he couldn't leave his sheep. If the shepherd was not there to help the sheep, then it wouldn't help. People were having the doors open, people know that they could come in and they could get a Bible, and it made a difference to their lives. Recently, he gave a Bible to a young girl. And when he gave that Bible to that girl, he said, "Now, do you know what you're going to do with that Bible when you get home?" She quickly answered back, "Don't you know what to do with the Bible? Well, I'm going to read it, because the more I read it, the more Jesus is inside of me. The more I read it, the more Jesus is inside of me." What a lovely lesson for us all. See, this good news would flood the world if only it could be heard. As we celebrate All Saints Day, what can we do that will demonstrate that upside down new world in our actions as we leave church today? One thing I would challenge you to do is to open your Bible. Even if it is just a single passage every day, open your Bible, see where it leads you. If you don't know where to start, please just ask. We've got loads of resources that we'd love to share with you and get you excited about reading the Bible. Don't let it be a confusing book that you don't know where to begin with. Maybe you already have that relationship with the Bible. How can you then help others or begin to share your own blessings with them? God blesses us so abundantly. We sang that song earlier about the many blessings and how abundantly we've been blessed. Let us share those blessings. Don't let that Bible just sit on a shelf. As a charity, none of our work is possible without your prayers, gifts, and your legacies. And I know some of you already support us, and we thank you very much for that support. We do ask that you continue to pray for us, pray for our work, pray for our colleagues. If you would like to then help and support us financially, our invitation to you is to join us in our mission and helping to bring the Bible to life. For £5 a month, you can place a Bible into someone else's hands each and every month. Someone like that little girl that I mentioned before. £5 covers the translation, distribution of a Bible and goes and helps change someone else's life for good. We obviously promise to use your gift wisely here at home and across the world and keep you up to date with the impact that it's having. Together, in partnership with Jesus, we will be bringing the Bible to life to those who need it most. Thank you for the opportunity to join you, and thank you for helping us to do something truly amazing. God bless.